Blog Talk Radio.
Something happened to me last Thursday when I was driving home. I had a couple of miles to go. I looked up and saw a glowing orange object in the sky to the east. It was moving very irregularly. Suddenly, there was intense light all around me. When I came to it,
Strange Surroundings TV Universe. So open the lines tonight. It's Friday, October 2nd, 2015. We'll have a great show. I've already got somebody calling in already. Let's see who this could be. It's 304 number, so you know it's going to be good. Good evening.
Hey, what's going on, my friend? This is Robbie Shaw, Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Thank you for calling, Robert. You know, anybody, it's just for our new listeners. Robert was the first guy that, first guest that was on Strange Surroundings Secret Universe. It's a pleasure. Thanks for calling in.
I'm wanted to say I'm honored to share that distinction, man. That really makes my day.
Hey, I'm glad you called in. We got a lot to discuss now. Now there was a lot of action, a lot of encounters your way last time we spoke. Before we get started, tell us about the area that you live in down West Virginia. Give them an idea.
I grew up in a place called Robertsburg. I was born, the odds of this happening probably one in a million, maybe, but I was actually born right outside of North Fork, Virginia, in a little area, most of it in the conspiracy world, known as Lime Lake. I was actually born at Lime Lake Air Force Base, and I said I was on tour of duty there. I was about a year old, we moved to a place called Robertsburg, which is right at the Mason, Southern County line. I grew up around, and in the last, my parents moved to a region right, about 5 miles outside of Point Pleasant, former red-eyed winged weirdo known as the Mothman that raised a lot of hell back here in the, mid to late 60s. And, of course, that was the thing of the Patty Bridge collapse that happened here and everything else. Right now, I live about, 300 feet from the back edge of what's known as TNP, the TNP area.
Very famous area, the TNP. Very crazy stuff happened there. A lot of sightings, a lot of mishaps. Now, you were telling me a few days ago that there was a lot of craziness going on. Tell us a little bit more about that.
There's something, I've discussed this quite a bit with Ron Strickler, a good friend, and a great, well-known student, investigator of the unknown and mysterious.
I haven't
talked to Butch yet, but I'm sure he's to take a lot of this information to Butch Wachowski, and I've also told Mike Mott a good bit about what's going on around here. I want to get this out, definitely. I know that, we'll reach a wide audience on your show for sure. But right now, has been going on the last 3 weeks. For about every little 3 months, man, we had nothing here. I mean, 3 or 4 months from spring, into the summer, it just dried up. And, I heard nothing. I had no reports of anything. It was horrible, nothing. And then out of nowhere, the last, I'd say, four weeks now for sure, 3 weeks I know of, I've witnessed, I can't even count, literally hundreds of these things for myself. 90% of the time I've had friends and family with me. It starts, a couple hours after dark, we've been seeing these lights. And, like Ron said, the only thing you can say about them is they're UFOs. They're not planes or helicopters that, we recognize. They're not, your normal situations. They don't have any kind of set pattern. They just follow. Some of them will be going so slow it cannot be a plane or, helicopter, anything like that. Some of them basically hover for a while and then take off. Some of them go so fast you just get a glimpse of them.
Will the lights flash as if to mock a plane?
That's another weird thing. The weird thing is that they are utterly silent. I mean, you know, with a normal plane, you'll either hear it, or you'll hear it right before you see it, or you'll hear it right after you see it. You know, we all know about that. These things you will not hear whatsoever. I mean, they are dead silent. Some of them, you know, like with any kind of UFO or even planes and stuff, you really can't tell how big they are because you can't, you know, really judge the distance. At night, it's you know, tenfold, of course. But these things, some of them seem to be absolutely huge. And like I said, no matter, you know, how close or how far they say, you won't hear nothing. They're completely silent. But the light, that's another thing. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, you know, about a week or so after we started seeing this stuff all night, I started thinking, wait a second. You know, most of us seen airplanes at night, you know. I started getting online. I spent a few hours here and there looking up, you know, the FAA regulations and, you know, the actual rules and laws about, you know, lights, lighting systems and, you know, their set patterns for all different kinds of things. These things will usually just, I mean, they have all different sorts of patterns, and sometimes you'll see them change and start blinking like a regular airline or, you know, a commercial jet or something like that. And then and some of them, they just seem to be actually classic, you know, just like John Keel, you know, documented and seen many times himself in this area. So there'll be a solid orb, usually silver or white. Rarely we'll see a blue, you know, a red one, but mostly they're silver or really brilliant white. Just a steady pulsing light, just not across the sky. But a lot of these new ones, you know, of course we've seen those, you know, in droves, but these new things, I've even mentioned it, you know, talking about Google and a lot of these other, like DARPA. I've wondered if these are some kind of new drones that are being tested in some secret way. I mean, they're something totally different. I mean, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about all night, you know, paper, running paper routes and people working in restaurants and bars and stuff like that. And, you know, just about everybody I've talked to that works late at night has seen these things, and they wonder, you know, what in the world is going on.
Yeah, yeah. And there's always mass sightings, so somebody's always around too. Am I right, Robert?
What is it?
It's always, you know, a lot of these sightings that you've discussed and reported, they've been always seen by more than one people, correct? More than one person.
Yes, sir. Down at, I've got a friend of mine who's right here on that. Where First Street and Walnut Street meets right here on the edge of town. He lives right up next to the football. You know, there in Point Pleasant. I've been spending a long time, you know, it's my ex-fiance's family. You know, more or less my, they would have been my brother-in-law and his family. His mom's like a mom to me. I've been here for so long. And I hang out there a lot, you know, in town. I'm not working, but you know, spend time with family and stuff. I'm telling you what, we've been seeing these things every night. I mean, the last 2 or 3 weeks straight. So it's another object I've been seeing. Well, we've all seen this one, too. It comes up out of the east at about 108 degrees. I've got pictures of it on my post on Facebook. I plan to show a video on YouTube. Might get a little bit better footage. I've got, I think, three of the best, you know, star apps that you can get for iPhone and iPad. I've got the Skywatch, what's that other one? Skyview or something. There's three of them I've got. You know, one of them costs like $10. And so far, they've never let me down. I mean, I've learned a lot from these things. But this thing rises up around 5:30 to 5:45 every morning, just the only clouds it's up for. And I'm not kidding you, buddy. This thing is by far the brightest object in the sky, other than the moon. When I bring this, you know, all these apps up, and there's nothing even remotely close to what, you know, where this thing is. There's no kind of planet, no star. And the last 2 or 3 nights, you know, before the rain set in, about 2 nights ago last night, we seen it. This thing, it's just unreal. I mean, at 7 o'clock in the morning, it's, you know, all the other stars are in, and even the moon's gone. But this thing is still, you know, it's like 8:30 before this thing disappears.
Now, just now from your observation, could you give us a little detail on maybe the possibility of what, how big it was?
This thing's huge, my friend. I mean, it's the way it looks. I've got a buddy of mine, well, Wallet Lister. He's got one of the older generations, like a night vision scope. He's had some over years. We play with him watching deer and stuff. And when you look at it, this thing, it's a round object. I mean, it's slightly round. And it's just its shape. And it seems to be moving. It doesn't move like a normal star. It's there every morning. But it seems like it's shifting to the left, you know, where it'd be what? Somewhat to the northeast of it. It seems to be shifting. It's moved over, you know, it's just about a football where they've been watching it. It seems like it's just about 20 feet farther to, you know, to the, like a north, just a bit northeast direction from where we're standing. But like I said, this thing is, you know, I've worked on tow boats ever since I got out of high school. And even when I was in high school, I was a night owl. You know, I was a street urchin running around all hours of night when I could. And, you know, we're working on tow boats last 14 or 15 years. I usually took the night, you know, the back watch, which was from, you get up at 11 o'clock in the evening, start work around 11:30, and you work from 11:30 at night till 6 in the morning. Oh, out there building tower and making lots of plannings. You know, you're out there a lot of night. Usually, you know, more time off than not, you're waiting to get so there's not much to do than to stare at the riverbank or to stare at the sky. And, you know, I've almost memorized. I've probably got most of the major stars and constellations to be memorized. But I'm telling you what, this thing is it's brighter than most shooting stars you've ever seen. It's just unbelievable how bright this thing is. And I don't know if there's any truth to, you know, the whole, obviously, there wasn't any truth to the meteor hitting. You know, the 28th of this month, but I don't know if that was, you know, maybe something just thrown out there to get people psyched out and then for it not to happen. And, but like I said, it's really concerning because there's nothing on any kind of star chart or any kind of outfit that says, you know, where this thing is. There's like four, you know, stars. I think there's one planet, I can't remember what it's, absolute, you know, an obscure star nearby, but it's like 15 feet on the app, you know, the map of the iPad. There's nothing even close to where this thing is. It's just a black spot there. There's nothing.
I tell you what, you mentioned a good thing about the times, especially, you know, in West Virginia around 11 o'clock to about 6 in the morning, or, well, you know, it starts getting daylight, about 4 or 5, you know, when it just starts breaking. There's that, when the light, the sky's all cleared up, you got a total view. And it seems like it's a spherical view, because it looks like you're looking around, you know, and all these, you know, the sky's opened up. What did you think about the, I'm sure you got a good view at the alleged blood moon lunar eclipse over the week?
Well, unfortunately, we got the shaft on that one, buddy. It was, you know, missing rain, it was cloudy, and
what was,
it was the daylight.
Back to this UFO. Do you think that it could possibly been an orb of some sort?
Well, I would think that, because, if it was definitely one of the better things I've ever seen by far. But, like I said, it has the patterns of, you know, a basic star or a planet. You know, it rises up and goes up in the sky. And like I said, by 7 o'clock, 7:30, at the latest, you know, every other star, and even, you know, more often up, and there's, you know, not visible by then. And this thing is still up there, you know. It has the movements of the star or planet. You know, just an average, you know, star being seen in the sky. That's what, but like I said, it seems to be shifting, you know, in an order and kind of direction, and really, really slowly. I've had a couple friends have seen it that said that, you know, it seems like it moves up and down a little bit. But, you know,
sorry about that, Robert. We just got disconnected there. Just reconnected. Probably got you and whatever you. So, thank you. 10 seconds.
Okay. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good deal. Boy, I lost you there.
I know, man. Usually don't ever happen. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, with the combination of these weird lights being seen, and Ross Circle has left, like, fans and monsters. He's detailed some amazing encounters and sightings of dogmen here lately. And we seem to have a little bit of an increase in that here as well. I had a friend of mine, his dad and my father worked together for many years on towboats. He's been a close friend with family for, probably 15, 14 years, give or take. I haven't talked to him in a few months, where he's started working a new company. He's been a pilot now, so he's, you know, gone. He's got a lot more, you know, better job on the boat. He don't have the time, you know, he used to have the talk, but he's a deckhand. But he texted me out of the blue the other day to ask me if I had any recording of a dog man or anything like that. I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. Me and one of his, you know, close friends from childhood was hanging out at his property, which is about a mile, just right outside of town. It's about a mile away from Cordell Park on a hilltop. And one night I was on my way home, and he calls and says, man, you got your recorder or your phone on you, or your iPad? I said, yeah. He said, get out here right now. He said, this thing started going nuts. Just, you know, smoke a cigarette. It was about 10:30, maybe 20 or 11 at the latest. And I said, man, I'm turning around. I'll be in 5 minutes. And by the time I got there, we could still hear it. And I started recording on my iPhone. My iPad had too much stuff for me. But I have a task cam recording app on this iPhone 5. And it seems to work out pretty well. But I've recorded about 14 minutes altogether. This thing is just going ballistic, you know. And we had a small group of coyotes behind us, you know, and they were freaking out the entire time. And there was two dogs, not even more than a quarter mile down the ridge. Another house, you know, the only house nearby, down below us. They were carrying on, but this thing, you know, by far stood out. I called the Lon Stricker, and he texted back a few days later and said, buddy, you know, this is something here. This is weird. You know, I don't know much about it, but I can tell you it's not. But for sure, it's not a coyote, and that's all I can say. It's very awfully, awfully strange. And
that does sound very, very, very interesting. Now, one of your big fortes, I remember, Robert, is dogmen. Any latest reports on dogmen around West Virginia?
Oh, yeah.
Area in particular?
Yes, sir. This gentleman lives about it. He's about 3 years younger than me. Like I said, he's working out now at a big company as a real estate pilot. So really, he don't want me to disclose his name or, you know, the exact area. But, you know, the area it happens, and it's got a really big history of dogman and Bigfoot activity for the last 40, 50 years. I mean, it's just all kind of astounding amount of Bigfoot sightings out this way. The young man involved here has told me about a month ago, if that, he was coming home. And he had an experience it was last year during deer season, where he was walking home, it was right at dark, and everybody, it sounded like a call for something, like, you know, a lot of this people. You know, like a sound behind him, and there's cattle up on the hill, you know, nearby. I thought, well, maybe a cow got loose. But he turns around, and he could barely make out, you know, in the background, this massive hair covered thing standing, you know, bipedal on the road, you know, on an old Vulcan road. He's walking up towards his house. And he said, man, I just, you know, here I am. You know, I knew about Bigfoot. You know, I was pretty sure they existed before I heard family and friends sightings, you know, years ago. So I'm standing here watching, Sam, just blown away, you know, about 70, 80 yards away from me. You know, maybe a little bit more, but no less than that. You know, for sure. But they're saying it was a Bigfoot. I thought, man, I'm actually seeing one. And, you know, it wasn't just a few couple seconds later, there was a couple of coyotes started making a ruckus, you know, started, you know, barking, carrying on the hill above us, you know, a little ways away. And this thing turned, it didn't turn its body, it just turned its head, you know, like to kind of get one eye of you and behind it. And that's when I seen the massive snout. And the ears perked up. It had these just freakish, tall, still thin, you know, really pointed ears that just come up, and that, you know, and that right then told me that this wasn't a Bigfoot. And he said, well, I ain't gonna lie, I slammed the shell in the chamber and took off. And I had my rifle in the hand, and I ran all the way up the hill, you know, the rest of the hill to the house, right inside my doors. And, you know, like, by all means, I'd have thought I'd seen a werewolf. To see this thing, it was just so massive, and to see that snout when it turned around. And I asked him, he said he'd never seen the eyesight, he'd never seen, you know, he couldn't see much more than that massive frame, and you could tell it was, you know, had real disheveled looking hair, like, you know, the hair wasn't, you know, what you'd expect. It was just bare looking, you know, what he could actually make out of it. But he said, when it turned, he could see that outline of that huge snout, and, you know, them ears sticking up. Well, he said, this happened, you know, just recently, it had been, you know, just a couple of weeks at that, I believe. It was about 3 or 4 nights ago, he texted out of there and asked him about his reporting. I said, yeah, I can send you a clip of it. And it was just 3 months later. He texted back to me, no, buddy, that ain't it. That's not. And I texted him, I said, what's going on? I said, well, quite a bit. He said, we've been hearing that screaming. And it's mixed with a howl sort. I've never heard nothing like it in my life. And it's still my, you know, my fiance. I was so terrifying her. So maybe down the road, they've been hearing it. And he finally ended up telling me about something that happened here recently, you know, down about the same time period behind. So he said he got home, worked, you know, he was working at the harbor, got home late one night, coming in about 2 o'clock in the morning, and said he's seen something. Now, he's got a motion sensor light sitting behind his, you know, at the back of his house. It sort of lights up the side of the yard and directly behind his house where you'd walk from the driveway to go inside. So he was walking in towards the porch, it's about 30 feet off. He noticed something, you know, a tree through the woods as well. So like, he said it just looked like a ball coming from the wood line, you know, getting ways off. I kind of picked up my pace, but I couldn't hear anything. And when the light comes on, I see this just standing there, but I can see it's black. It had a little bit of yellowish, you know, what the eyes weren't glowing, but they had like a little glint of light, you know, two yellow spots, and it's just massive. And it was this dog thing that was not exactly upright, but it wasn't on all fours either. But the way it looked, it was running full bore right at him. And it was probably about maybe, he said, 25, 30 feet top, I mean, when the light kicked on and lit up near the area. And so this thing instantly made some kind of a hill for it. And I tell Brad, twice, but I didn't even realize it stood there thinking, my God, you know. And so I thought it stood there for 30 seconds and then it hit me. Oh, man, maybe that light might not keep it in. Keep it gone for all, so I ran the house off the door. But what really got me, and I guess this is what bothered him the most about it, is that he has a concealed carry permit. You know, he carries a pistol with him more often than not. And I think, fortunately, you know, knowing the guy, he's a biker. You know, and he's like a lot of us. You know, he's an old country boy. He's not scared of the hell yet. There's not a lot out there that would really unnerve this cat. You know, I mean, like I said, he's one of the good old boys. You know, just like all of us. But there's not much wrong with one angle of his nose. But I think that first encounter with this thing, I mean, he lives in a remote area, too. You know, he lives fully out of town than I do. He lives about 6-7 miles outside of town. And the road he lives on, there's only maybe 10 houses on the whole road. Goes on about 15, 20 miles. And it goes way out in there. And there's not a lot of houses. So it's more, you know, brush and woods and hilltops than anything. But he got a concealed weapon permit a while back. And you know, he carries it, especially that way at night. But he said, as he's sitting there in the window, he had all lights off. The door was out. He's sitting there looking out the window. And he said, man, I just had this overwhelming feeling come over me that this thing knows I had a gun. And between the head of the gun and that light coming on, it scared it off, and it's extremely upset. It's pissed off. And he said, all that night, and he said, I had trouble sleeping because I just kept getting these cold chills and this weird feeling that this thing was still out there.
You know, that sounds really, really crazy, Robert. Do you think that, you know, and I'm just going to go off the cuff for a second, just ask you a question out of left field. With this free recent video on the video, looks like it's from Jersey or something, with the bear walking bipedal. Do you think that correlation in this turn of in evolution for these animals, especially dog, coyotes, all these different, you know, dog and wolf hybrids, also bears and those other animals are evolving to work to walk on its hind quarters, or do you know? I'm sure there's more to it. What do you think about that?
Oh, I mean, anything's a possibility. I mean, that's for sure. I mean, you know, once you've got to the level that me and you, and you know, thankfully, more and more people get to every day and start asking those big questions. You know, you wake up, you know, within a few days or a couple of months, you start realizing, man, a lot of this stuff doesn't add up. You know, once you learn that many things we've been taught as fact or the truth is absolutely blatant and false or wrong, you know, it really opens up a lot more possibilities that, you know, anything is possible. But as most people know me, and I'm sure you are too, I'm a huge fan of Linda Godfrey. I've got three of her books. My favorite book of hers is The Real Wolf.
Oh, Linda Godfrey.
Yes, sir. I mean, I'm a huge fan of her.
I love her. I got to meet her, Robert. Last year. Yeah. She made me blush. This guy that was talking to her beside, she seen me and she recognized me and she said, you should hear this guy's radio. I'll be to death. I love her. This was just her book just came out. You know, I'm really close to Linda. I think she's a wonderful person and great researcher and just a solid person. But go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, her work is, you know, she's one of these rare. I put a comment on Mark Memley, his Facebook page a while back about, you know, Mark and Linda, you know, there's only a handful of, you know, authors that can really, they do their work, you know, so thorough and such an excellent manner that actually, you know, you're sitting there reading it. You can actually picture yourself there and even, you know, picture yourself just being terrified right with the witnesses.
Yeah, she's fine.
Ever since reading that first book, you know, Real Wolfman, you know, that really got me into a lot of this. But she mentioned many about, you know, a lot of these new things that people, well, not, I mean, they're probably not new, but, you know, maybe people are talking about them more, thankfully. You know, the mindsets are starting to change a little bit and attitudes, but I know there's one she's talking about that they call it the bear wolf. This thing, I've never seen it at a military base. It was some type of military base. There were three people at the friends, and they were on patrol one night up towards the Great Lakes in that area, right near the Great Lakes. And, you know, one of them had seen this thing standing there, you know, silhouetted in the back, you know, on the side of the moonlight. It looked like a massive bear standing on a tiny leg, you know. They had the body that sounds, explicitly, extremely close to a Bigfoot. I mean, the body frame, is exactly like a massive, adult Bigfoot. But the head was that of it, what you see is just a regular bear. It's a massive bear or a black bear perhaps. And they viewed this thing for, a minute or so, and it turned around that back. But, anything's possible, and I'm sure that, having that happen, that's probably, happened in a few years. But a lot more often than not, especially around here, I think a lot of these cases, the dog man situation, it's come to the point where about a year, last summer I learned about a few things that almost got me out of all this completely. Because the implications, and there seems to be synchronicities that happen with this dog man. Once you get into, trying to track people down and look at these things, I've had so many things happen, just with the dog man thing. Like I said, it came to the point to where I even deleted my Facebook account last year, my original account. I quit talking about it and just, it unnerved me severely, the kind of implication of stuff that went on, the synchronicity that was going on with me personally and, even some of my family and friends. But, this stuff wouldn't happen, when I was just reading about the stuff. But once I started actively going out and investigating, it all, like I said, the dog man thing, originally I could care less about it. I never even heard nothing about it. Of course, we all heard about werewolves and stuff like that. The movies, my main thing was, Bigfoot, and I stayed away from everything else because I was totally obsessed with seeing one. And then once I started learning about how it affects people and as a witness, personally, you know,
you know, the only really encounter that I've heard things. It's like I've heard, the big scream and it sounded like, the Bigfoot screams. But that, I remember last time we spoke, it was probably about last year sometime, but I was telling you about that big white thing I seen. That was when my dad was sick in the hospital. Now that still messes with my mind, man, because I want to know what that was. Did you ever look into that? Like the same, because I remember going to tell Lon about it, and he said that there was other cases. Did you ever hear any more about the white thing? I don't even know what it's called. Let's just call it.
that's what most people call them. I don't know if you know him, William Michael Mott. He's a real close friend of mine. I've been fortunate to meet him a couple of years ago after reading, The Cabin Called and Concealed Creatures. And, that book was instrumental to me. It opened up, it showed me about the Book of Enoch, so much of, the past. And like his work with world cultures and their histories is just absolutely astounding. He's making mentions of things that most people never dream of. And then the way he presents his data, he drives the points home, all these things are related. They all come from, it's just the way he does stuff is just absolutely, outstanding. But Mike had written me a while back saying he was looking for a book called Fact Thing or something to that effect. And I looked at a few bookstores here locally, which there's not much, they got a good bookstore downtown here. And for some reason, they have a huge collection of books in there. There's a couple bookstores in Huntington and I think three in Charleston, and that's about it. And I've looked everywhere, but he writes me a few months after that. But man, I found it. And he sent me but you can look it up on Amazon. What I did is I lost the link he sent me, and I ended up looking up White Things in parentheses on Amazon, and I bought this book up. And I'm pretty sure his name is McCoy. His last name's McCoy, the author. And he's done that to me, man. He done
I don't know about all, man. I'm sure we get along great.
No,
we really don't have bad blood. I've met a lot of good McCoys. I really have.
Well, for what it was, Mike, wrote me, it was a couple, 3 weeks later, so man, I just finished it. He said, you've got to get the book. It's rare. It took me forever to find it. But, if you got a chance to get it, get it, because it's worth it. And I guess this guy, I can't remember exactly, so it's been a couple years back, but Mike was ecstatic when he got the book, and he said, man, this guy did an all-out job, going out and finding people that have seen these things. And from what I found, and I know, like I said, Ron Strickler, I read the first account I read of him was actually on Ron's site, Fans and Masters. And then a year or so after this, it's been 4 or 5 years ago, I got a book by Rosemary Ann Daly called was a monster from the mountain state. You know, monstrous creature from wilderness of West Virginia. And I lived at that, within 2 or 3 nights and fell in love with it. And she has several cases of huge squatch, seen in West Virginia. And a lot of people call them white things, so, like a better term. There's two cases within a short walk from my house. One was where I grew up in Rottersburg. It was right down the road, not even a mile away in a place called Elba.